Yes, it is 9/11, and thank you, Tim, for coming and praying for those. This morning, I did go to roll call at the Brooklyn Center Police Department just to let the police know that they are in our prayers and be with them. And I'll visit the 6 p.m. roll call before then I'll hurry up and be over here for our evening service, as I'll be preaching this evening in our evening service. But God has blessed this nation. We have had trials come against us. But we need to remember to keep those in prayer who do stand on guard for us and who are there to help us in our time of need. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for each person who does stand on guard for this country, whether it be on the borders or here within our communities. And we'll be the first, those people who are the first to run to the trouble when there is an issue. And Lord, many of those individuals lost their lives on 9/11 10 years ago. But yet, those first responders still continue to run in when there's a danger. So Lord, we just pray your hand of protection upon them, that you would bless them and their families, as it's very hard on the family of those who go and serve to protect, because they are fearful. But we come against that spirit of fear, Lord. Might you take away any spirit of fear in this country. Might we lean upon you and trust in you for all things. Now, Lord, might we give you our full attention this morning as we come to study your word. Lord, I ask that as I preach your word, you would use me to speak in power and in truth. And Lord, I ask that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that all who hear your word might come to know you more. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Almighty God. Amen. We're in Isaiah chapter 27. Yes, I understand that Isaiah is a difficult book to be working our way through, and we've been slogging our way through it. But we're going to be taking a break soon. Not yet. But we've got Missions Conference coming up, and then we've got Thanksgiving, and we've got Christmas, and then first of the year, always we do have our stewardship series. So we'll be having a few breaks to break this up. But there's a lot going on here in Isaiah. And again, chapters 24 through 27 is a group of apocalyptic literature, which is, you know, what's happening at the last days. So let's read what God says through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 27. Isaiah 27, verse 1, it reads, "In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea. In that day, sing out about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. I am not angry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire, or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Has the Lord struck her, as he struck down those who struck her? Has she been killed by those who killed her? By warfare and exile you contend with her. With his fierce blast he drives her out in on, as on a day the east wind blows. By this then will Jacob's guilt be atoned for, and this will be the full fruitage of the removal of his sin. When he makes all the altar stones to be like chalk stones, crushed to pieces, no Asherah poles or incense altars will be standing. The fortified city stands desolate, and abandoned settlements forsaken like the desert. There the calves gaze. They lie down. They strip its branches bare. When its twigs are dry, they are broken off, and women come and make fires with them. For this is a people without understanding. So their Maker has no compassion on them, and their Creator shows them no favor. In that day, the Lord will thresh from the flowing Euphrates to the Wadi of Egypt. And you, O Israelites, will be gathered up one by one. And in that day, a great trumpet will sound. Those who are perishing in Assyria and those who are exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Amen. Kind of scary stuff, this thing about the last days. A lot of destruction, swords, judgment. The Lord will punish with His sword. Anybody here like punishment? Not so much. But yet, this is what's going to happen. The Lord will punish with His sword, with His fierce, great, and powerful sword. What is His sword? This is His sword. God's Word is the sword of God. It's His Word. So many times we forget that this is the weapon. We have it here in front of us. We are blessed by having the Scriptures available to us. Many people don't around the world. They don't have them. But we have God's Word. It's right there for us. We need to be reading it to understand it. We need to hear God's Word before we can understand it. We need to study God's Word so that we can understand it. How does His sword work? We're told that this is what will be used for slaying of Leviathan. A what-a-thin? Leviathan. That's like a big sea serpent, snake, that was in the ocean, apparently. This big old sea monster of some sort. God is supposed to be killed with His sword. What is the monster that is killed with God's sword? Is that of death, that of sin. Leviathan was the biggest, baddest thing that was then known to the people of the earth. And that's the word picture that's being drawn here. The worst thing out there that we is indeed sin and death. And God's Word destroys it. But it does bring punishment. He sings about the fruitful vineyard. He says, I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night, so that no one may harm it. I'm not angry. If only it were briars and thorns confronting me. Because what's confronting God? We have the parable of the vineyard that Jesus told. In that parable, He planted a vineyard, set the walls up around it, guard towers, planted it, then put tenants in to care for the vineyard. And then sent His servants to collect from His vineyard. And they killed the servants. He ran them off. Finally, He sent His son. And His son is killed. They say, if we kill the son, then you know, maybe we'll inherit it. That's not the way it works, is it? But here we have the story of the vineyard. What's confronting? What's going on? It's a rebellious people. He's referring to us as, if only there were thorns, if only there were briars. You know what a briar is? A thorn is, it's a prickly bush. It's something that's really hard to walk through, and if you try to walk in it, it'll kind of tear you up. But how do they get rid of it? They just burn them out. And they burn completely. So there's like very even little dust left over. They just burn. They burn really good. If only there were thorns confronting me. But yet, he's not really talking about thorns. He's talking about people. Because he says, let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, I will let them make peace with me. How can a thorn or a plant make peace with that? Do you make peace with the weeds in your garden, Ed? You making peace with the weeds in your garden, or are you battling against them constantly? It's a battle. You don't make peace with it. You know, hey, the thorn's going to come and say, you know what, we're just going to stand around the edge and we're not going to come into the garden and kind of take over. But God is talking about the thorns. That's us. It's just the people of this earth. See, if they would just come to me, turn to me, and be reconciled, let there be peace. He wouldn't have to set us on fire. These are the word pictures in this apocalyptic literature. Let them come to me for refuge. God is supposed to be our place of refuge. We need to understand that He's the refuge and that we can turn to Him, even if we are no more than thorns. The gospel is going to spread to all the nations. We see that it comes to root, and Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. We have that happening today when we propagate the gospel. Read verse 6. It says, in the days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. This is the spread of the gospel to all the nations. The word pictures that are being played out here, they're happening today. As we look, and we can see that there are more and more nations around the world that have the gospel than ever before. In the Gospel of Mark, we're told that it was when the word has been preached to all the world, then the end will come. That day of judgment, it's coming. It's coming closer and closer. By this, then, will Jacob's guilt be atoned for? Will be the full fruitage, the removal of his sin, when he makes the altar stones to be like chalk stones, crushed pieces. No Asherah poles or incense altars will be left standing. You ever have a piece of chalk and crush it? A very piece of soft limestone. That's what he's talking about. Altar stones were meant to be tough because you put a big animal on it and you put fire on it, and if it wasn't a hard stone, it would crumble, it would fall apart, it wouldn't take the pressure. Saying that, make these altar stones to be like chalk, so when they were actually touched with fire, it got hot, or anybody touched it, it would just crumble and be powder and be and just gone. That the Asherah poles would be gone. See, these were poles that were set up to be symbols to worship around for false gods, these false altars, these false Asherah poles. And we're saying, these things all need to be removed. But what we find today is that these things are spreading and propagating all around the world. Are they not? But these things will be destroyed in the last days. When he makes all the altar stones to be like chalk, the fortified cities will stand desolate and abandoned settlements forsaken like the desert. There the calves will gaze down. They lie down. They strip the branches bare. Its twigs are dry and they're broken off. these calves. That's us, people. It's talking about the people of earth who are stripping the leaves off the branches. What happens when you strip all the leaves off the branch of a plant? It dies. Now, if you harvest fruit from the plant will continue. But if you just take all the leaves off of it and you eat the new growth at the end of it, the plant will die. But a calf, a cow, they don't put it in an orchard with a bunch of new apple trees. How many apple trees are you going to have left? None. They'll eat them all. But the calves would rather eat the apples later, but they won't allow it to grow up. They'll just eat the little green parts and just... All you have left is some twigs, and the women will come and they'll collect them and they'll burn those because that's all that's left. Why? Because calves don't understand. You don't even expect a calf to understand, do you? There's no expectation of understanding. However, there is a need for us to understand. Because for this is a people without understanding, so their Maker has no compassion on them and their Creator shows them no favor. See, if we do not understand God and His Word, if we do not understand what's required of us, if we are just as mindless as a calf, just eating the blessing and destroying it, and leaving it for naught, God's not going to show us any favor. What is the blessing? The gospel, God's word. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But many, they hear it and they're like calves. They're like, they chew it up. They don't understand. They don't do anything with it. They don't nurture it. They don't take it and care for it. So we need to receive the gospel. We need to love it and respect it and not neglect it, which is what a calf does because it has no understanding. But so much of humanity treats God's word like that calf. I don't have that tongue that really, you know, you see a cow eating and you get that big tongue that comes out. You know, you ever had somebody talk about, you know, you look like a cow chewing the cud as you, you know, you're chewing gum. It's not a term of endearment. It's not a term that evokes wisdom. It's a term that tells us that we're not acting intelligently and brightly. And if we don't understand God's word, God's warning, that's what He's giving here, is this a warning that day of judgment is coming. And we need to know about it. We need to hear about it. We need to be telling others about it. Why? Because if we don't receive the warning and do what we're supposed to with it, we won't have any favor from God. We will not be reconciled. We will not receive refuge when that time of trial comes. What is it we're supposed to do? When we hear God's word of the good news, we're supposed to receive it. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Believe that He's the one who is indeed above all. This is what we're supposed to be doing. If we understand what God is doing, is He's done something that we can't do for us, so that we can be blessed. Now, if I understand the fact that I can't save myself, that only Jesus can, if I truly understand that, then I have to receive it. Receive that blessing. But if I'm thoughtless like a cow, I just eat the leaves of it. I take the blessings that I have of sunshine and food and air and a job and people who help me out when I'm in trouble, and never give a thought to thanking God in heaven. Never give a thought to why is it that I have what I have. Never give a thought to understanding God's mercy and His grace. You need to understand that He's given us that because the day of judgment is coming. He has given us the place of salvation, the place of refuge. But either we can receive refuge or we can be burned like the thorns in judgment. Pastor, you're scaring me. I hope so. I'm usually not big on the hellfire and brimstone type stuff, but, you know, quite frankly, that's what we got in today's text. Because the fact matters, the day of judgment is coming. But if we really understand that, it should mean something to us. But if we also understand that God has given us His mercy and grace, it's there. It's for each and everyone who will receive it. But you still got to receive it to get it, to have it do you any good whatsoever. Don and I went to the store last week. We bought a package of romaine hearts. Okay? We were going to have some salad, some romaine. We bought it. We took it home. We stuck it in the fridge. I threw it away yesterday because it's kind of liquefied. That romaine didn't get used. We didn't make the salad that we bought it for. We kind of spurned the blessing that we had, and it turned to mush. Turned to something that's inedible and not good for us. And that is the way many of us treat Jesus. The difference is, if we do turn to Jesus, He will bless us. The problem is, if we don't have the habit of turning to Him at need all the time, we won't do it when we have need. It has to become our practice. What we do find, though, is that if we do, all those who do put their trust in our Maker, well, it says, in that day the Lord will thresh from the flowing Euphrates to the Wadi of Egypt, and you, O Israelites, will be gathered up one by one. He's going to thresh. Here, you know what threshing is? It's where you take the wheat, the grain, and you knock it off the plant, and you collect just the grain. After they thresh it at the threshing floor, they've knocked it off that, then they winnow it to get rid of the chaff. So what's left is they've taken away the stubble, and they've gotten rid of the outer husks. And what's left is the grain, the wheat. And it's a long and involved process. And when the harvest goes on, weeds are caught up, all sorts of things are collected in there, but all that stuff is all picked out and removed. And if you have so much refuse, usually what you're doing is you're picking out the grain. If you have a good crop with fairly clean fields, what you're doing is you're picking out the bad stuff. The picture that we have here is that there's very few that will be saved, and God is picking them out. And putting them in Jerusalem to worship. We have that picture in Revelation of the new Jerusalem, and all will be gathered there to worship Him. In that day, we find is that location does not equal salvation. See, God is going to go searching for, you know, from this the Euphrates to the Wadi. It's not like, well, I was in Jerusalem, so I got saved. It was God went looking for it. Location didn't equal salvation. What did equal salvation, what does equal salvation, is what we have done with the blessing that God has given us. Have we been thoughtless in our treatment of it? Like a calf eating the leaves and the women burning the trees? So you don't have a fruit tree, you don't have an orchard. What you have instead is barren wasteland. Or do we care for it? Do we nurture it? Do we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and seek to mature and know Him, read His Word, get to know who He is and seek to follow Him, not just on Sunday morning for 2 hours, but maybe every day. Not just every day for an hour or two, but every day all day long and all night long. Those who were perishing in Assyria and those who were exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Their position looked like they were perishing. But because they had received Jesus, because they had received the blessing and understood the blessing, they're saved. God went and plucked them out. He harvested them. And they were brought to His refuge, to His city of worship. This is our eschatological section of Isaiah here, chapters 24 through 27. It's explaining to us clearly that that day of judgment is coming. And it does it with some pretty scary pictures that it draws up. But the reason why it's scary, people, is because it is real and it is definitive. Day of judgment is a final thing. It's not a, well, if I don't pass this time, is there a test I can do for a makeup test? No. The test is one question. What have you done with my son? What have you done with Jesus? Have you received Him as Lord and Savior? Or not. And if you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, have you been faithful in sharing it with others so that as many as possible might be saved? That's the injunction to us here. We need to be studying God's Word to learn more about Him, so that we can better tell others about Him. Because, people, that day is coming. It is real. None of us know when we might as an individual go. But neither do any of us know when that final day of judgment will come for the whole world. But judgment will be faced by everybody, sooner or later. And we have the blessing. It's there for everybody, who will receive. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have warned us. You have told us what's going to happen. Lord, you've laid it all out. You've shown it to us. And then, Lord, you've asked us to understand. To understand that you are speaking the truth in love. Offering us the way of hope and salvation, of refuge in a loving God. Lord, might we seek in our rebellion, seek to quit our rebellion, and seek to follow you. That we might know your peace and know your blessing. That we too might be brought to your city to worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.